My name is Salman, and I'll be continuing a series today on the foundations of the church and foundation of our faith. And today I will be talking about fellowship and life groups. All right. I will be talking about the importance of fellowship and how life group plays a crucial role, basically, in this discipline. And as we explore the Bible, says that fellowship, about the fellowship, I will just want you guys to keep in mind that whatever I say about fellowship and all the principles that I talk about fellowship, it sort of applies, you just look at them from the viewpoint of these life groups and the purpose of the life groups. So if you have your Bibles, please turn to Hebrews 10, and we will reading together from verse 19 to 25. And you should have it on the screen as well. I'll be reading from ESV version. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain that is through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglect to meet together, as it is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. So in recent years, we see that individualism is a huge problem around the world. And the study shows that more and more people are sort of feeling this social kind of like isolation. In fact, research from The Lancet in 2022 found that one in three people globally feel that they are lonely in some way or another. So the rise of individualism and this isolation sort of is kind of like elevated due to all these technologies and social medias and our dependence on the social medias these days. And even Christian community is not an exception. That we see that there is a focusing in Christian community for individualism in terms of like having relationship with God rather than coming in a community and have fellowship together. As we read today's passage, the reality of today's individualism culture stands in contrast to values that Bible teaches us and the principles that we see in the Bible. And we are going to talk about this community and the importance of the fellowship. Now, what does it mean to fellowship? Well, I checked the dictionary. The word fellowship has two different meanings. So the first one is a feeling of friendship between people who do things together or share an interest. And the second one is an organized group of people who share an interest, an aim, or a belief. The synonym version of fellowship is companionship. And there's a nice example there. It says, the love and companionship of marriage. In the Bible, word fellowship is derived from a Greek word called koinonia. And koinonia means, it has different meanings, so there is no exact translation, there is no such a thing in English word, but there is some sort of like, there are different meanings that can derive from it. Like holding something in common, join, participation, partnership, communion, what we did today, and fellowship. And it described the unity of the spirit comes from Christian shared belief. Convictions and behavior. And it's not very common, this word is not very common outside of Christian community, except for these guys. Have you seen these people before? So if you've seen The Lord of the Ring, and if you have read the book of The Lord of the Ring, you know that this is all about Fellowship of the Ring, isn't it? So, and funny enough, or interesting enough, they sort of keep that values, you know. They have this sort of, I will speak about all this, but they keep that sacrificial love for another. They have one faith and vision, and they're just looking to one, focusing on one, to do one thing together. And I suppose that's why it is called the Fellowship of the Rings. But yeah, you can't find fellowship much outside of Christian context, really. And although you can see the trace of fellowship in the Old Testament, it's mainly exclusive to the New Testament. In the Old Testament, we have fellowship offering, which is affirmation of this covenant between God and Israelites or God's people. And it symbolizes the joy of fellowship with God, basically. Now let's go back to our passage today. What are the shared, I said fellowship is the shared beliefs and behaviors. So what are our shared beliefs and convictions? So if we see, we can find these. We have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus. That's verse 19. We have a great priest over the house of God, verse 21. And for he who promised is faithful, verse 23. And how should we behave now? Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, verse 21. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, verse 23. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good work, verse 24. And then it says how to achieve all these things. And that's verse 25, which it says, by not neglecting to meet together, as it is a habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. And when we talk about meeting together, we're basically mentioning to this biblical concept of having fellowship together. So what is the biblical concept of fellowship? It sort of refers to intimate, supportive relationship between believers, both with one another and with God as well. And so fellowship is not basically socializing or just going to a social club or to a pub or being part of a specific golf club or something. But it demands that intimate relationship and sacrificial love. And within this community, we gain strength, we gain support, we gain protection. And that's how it was in the early Christianity, when disciples and followers of Jesus get together. They share everything they had. They broke bread together. They ate together. They had fellowship together. And this is how they were kind of supported, and they were they could be protected against the evil schemes, basically. And as Becca mentioned, today we are getting together to pray after the church, because we've recognized that that evil we've recognized that. And there are these evil schemes among our congregation. And we just want to go with faith, with one belief, in fellowship together and pray against all those schemes. And we know, after all, it is Jesus that is victorious. But it is our duty to pray for our brothers and sisters in our faith. Now, I'd like to draw your attention to three main points. So to warn you, I have three main points and lots of little points. So we'll be here forever. No. I'm just joking. So the first one is fellowship within Trinity. So we talked about Trinity a few weeks ago, didn't we? We said that God is in community. Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they are in relationship, in fellowship from eternity. They have this loving relationship. They have this harmony, perfect peace and eternal knowing and loving one another. And it is central to biblical revelation of God, what we see that is happening in Trinity as that fellowship. From this eternal fellowship flows the invitation for believers to participate in this divine life. through Jesus' redemption work and indwelling of Holy Spirit. And as Jesus prays for us, actually, in John 17, 20, 23, so we can experience the same intimate relationship and fellowship that he has with the Father. So in the verse 21, we read, "That they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us." And then mid verse 22, it says, "That they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may become perfectly one." That takes me to the next point, which is fellowship with Trinity as people of God. We have fellowship with God. And all this begins with fellowship with God. In John 1, verses 1 John chapter 1, verses 3, Apostle John writes, "That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ." So biblical fellowship starts with God, right? And through the work of Christ, the believers are able to enter into this close relationship with him. Fellowship with God is nurtured through prayer, worship, and obedience to his word. We are called into the fellowship of his Son. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9, it says, "God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord." So Paul reminding us that God himself calls believers into fellowship with him. This is a calling. This calling is it's a divine invitation to share in the life of Christ. And to share this fellowship with Jesus is to engage in this personal relationship with him. It is an ongoing relationship that brings transformation in our lives and a spiritual fruitfulness. In John 15, verse 4 and 5, Jesus uses the metaphor of vine and branches to describe how we are dependent in this kind of fellowship. He says, just as branches are depend on the vine, our lives depend on him. To grow, we must remain and connected to him. So that's how we can bear fruit. And it is a friendship with fellowship with him is essential for our spiritual fruitfulness. Jesus also invites us So we also have fellowship with the Spirit. So the Holy Spirit plays a vital role in Christian fellowship. In 2 Corinthians 13, verse 14, says, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all." So it empowers the believers to connect with each other. It doesn't matter what race you are. It doesn't matter what social status you have. It doesn't matter what color my skin is, or how much education I have, or what is my background. It doesn't matter, because in Holy Spirit we are all united to each other to have fellowship with one another and with this Holy Spirit. So this is how we are connected to each other. In 1 Corinthians 12:13 says, "For in one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit." Now my question is, are we having a deep, meaningful fellowship with God? This is something to think about. This is something that I should think about. How much time do we spend in prayer? How much time do we spend in reading the Word of God? How much time do we spend with God? Are we willing to switch off all the worries and concerns of this world and just plug into fellowship with God? I ask these questions first for myself. And third point is fellowship with the believers. So why do we need, if we have a perfect fellowship with God, why do we need fellowship with other believers? God will surely provide everything that we need, even spiritual needs. Well, the Word of God emphasizes that we should have fellowship with one another. It emphasizes on the importance of the fellowship within God's children, body of Christ. In Acts 2:42, the early church is described as devoting themselves to apostle teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayer. So Christian fellowship involves sharing the word of God, prayer, worship, meals together, forming a bond of love and support. Today's passage urges us to consider how to stir up one another to love and good work, and not to neglect to meet together, and highlighting the importance of regular meeting for spiritual strength. You know, God doesn't have a private salvation. You know, sacred salvation deals with individuals. God is a private God for us, but it is a personal God, but it's not private. We are all part of God's family. When we become a Christian, we join this brotherhood and sisterhood of believers. And no Christian is a only child, you know, an only child. So if God is our father, then this is our family, isn't it? So the question is not, will I be part of a community of faith? But how will I be part of this community and within this community of faith? And since the beginning, people of faith have been part of a community. Even the creation starts with this community, Adam and Eve. God never works alone with isolated people. Even Jesus worked with 12 disciples and lived with them and experienced life, and they experienced life with Jesus in a community. The church was formed when there were 120 people all together. When we make commitment to Christ, we make commitment to his purpose in the world, which is to have a healthy, unified body, the people of God. Now, let's have a look at the benefits of fellowship. So these are those little points I said. It's not going to take long. So, encouragement. So fellowship offers mutual encouragement, helping believers lift each other up during challenges. Just going to give you a quick example. So I'm part of Jepson Downer's group. And one of the benefits of parting a small group is that you have this intimate relationship with people who are part of that group. And in different situations, like we come together, we ask for if we need any prayers, and we encourage each other. For instance, we were talking about gifts of a spirit. And we were talking about, okay, what is your gift? What is your gift? Let's pray for you if you don't need what is your gift. If you don't have no idea what your gift is. So this is encouragement. The second one is education. So education, well, I studied leadership and theology a year or 2 years ago. And that was actually a fellowship because we came together, we did worship together, we prayed together, and we studied the Word of God. We studied for 2 years, and it was amazing. We support each other. Fellowship offers crucial support in difficult times. So if we are in need, in financial need, in spiritual need, we support one another. This is how important it is to have fellowship. Fourth, iron sharpens iron. So fellowship helps growth and improvement. Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. We challenge, correct each other, we motivate each other to grow in our faith. We help each other to become a better followers of Christ. We watch out for each other. So we have this mutual care and accountability for each other, to love one another, to encourage one another, daily in our faith. We provoke one another. So fellowship encourages believers to inspire one another to love and good deed, as we just, read in our today's passage. We challenge each other to deepen our love for God and others. 7, impact an unbeliever. I love this one. Because what we do together, people outside our community will see. We are good examples for people outside of our community. The way that we live together, that we live, that we support each other, that the way that we love one another is different from what is happening in this world. And they will see. And they see us different. This is how we impact one another. It's a great testimony for non-believers, the way that we live together. We pray together. As I just mentioned earlier, this is a powerful way for us to encounter what evil has planned for us and the seeds that is sowing around to distract us from the reality of who we are in God, and brings all the problems in our lives. And this is one way to counterattack that. James 5:14-16, encourage believers to pray for each other. Say that the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. And finally, joy eating friendship. This is also we all love. So it nurtures joy, companionship, and shared experience through activities like eating together, simply enjoying each other's company. That's important. Create a bond of friendship. And we have all this in unity and love that Christ desires for his disciples. In a nutshell, I'm just going to say in two things that kind of encapsulates all these things. So fellowship with other believers help express love to one another. Second, to encourage good works, as it says in today's passage. Now that we have a better understanding of fellowship, and its benefits, let's see what are the applications of what we just heard. It's not just a passive experience. We should put it in action. It requires intentional effort and engagement. So how can we actively engage in fellowship? So I have a whole lot of other points. Okay. Attend church regularly. So as we just mentioned today, so we have to attend church regularly, right? That's the most important thing. You have to make the habit to attend church every week. This is how we can deepen our relationship with other believers, with God, and we bound and also make this bond with other believers. So if you're watching this sermon online today, can I just encourage you, from this coming Sunday, please come to church if you're living close to Cullindale, okay? Don't sit there and just watch everything from your little screen, because it is what we experience today is beyond what you've experienced online. I promise you. Okay. Second, get involved in life groups. So in our passage today, the author of Hebrews calls us to encourage one another and not neglect meeting together, but stir up one another to the love and good work. So what all that you've heard is sort of applies in this context of life group. While the attending of church is very important, meetings and small gatherings or Bible study provides a more intimate environment for fellowship, a safe place to experience this sense of closeness, care, and sacrificial love. It is in life groups where we can see all the fellowship benefits that we talked about. It is in life groups where we can encourage one another in faith journey. It is where we can sharpen each other spiritually through Bible study, discussion, and prayer. It's these small groups that are intimate set in, and these intimate settings that we can wrestle with difficult questions. Sometimes we feel shy to come and ask difficult questions here because we think that it might be wrong to ask this question, but in intimate, small settings, we feel more comfortable to speak to our friends and come forward and ask things like, I don't know, do you think Jesus is God? It's hard to ask these questions in these big settings, you know? It is in life group that we have this opportunity to be open about our weaknesses and receive prayer, support, and godly counsel. Just want to share my own experience. So when I came to this church, when I came to the UK, when I attended this church, this is my first and only church that I've been to. And and I attended Noeta's group, Noeta sitting back there. Oh, okay, there. And I have to say, my whole Christian life, and it was influenced by that little group. And I got prayed, I have so many questions, and people in that group was so graciously helped me to grow in my Christian faith. And I just want to say thank you, Noeta, I just want to honor you, really. And I came to Hastings. Hastings was also part of a group, still is probably, and because Noeta just faithfully running the group for many years, I came to Hastings. I said, oh, Hastings, I had this dream. What do you think it is? I don't know what is my calling. I don't know what I'm looking for. I don't know how to worship. Hastings told me, tell me your dream. I told him the dream and said, okay, this means this and this and that. And I said, oh, yes, that's true. That's true. And it changed my perspective of what I'm going to do and what God is want me to do, you know? I just want to say how important life group is. If you are not part of a life group, it is a chance today to have a look at our website. You can see we have 10 life groups. It's good, it's still not enough. I want to encourage you, if you feel that God put this in your heart, that you can lead a life group, please come and speak to me, and you can start a life group. And it's not difficult at all. We're going to, my wife Taryn and I, we run and oversee the life groups. And we will have a one-to-one session with you. We'll teach you how to start a life group and how easy it is to run a life group. And these are our current life groups. You can find, I will later in the slides, we'll see the barcodes. And we have also two QR codes here that leads you to a form that you can sign, and to fill. And we will be in contact with you after that and direct you to the right life group. This one, however, takes you to the website, which you can see what are the availabilities and which areas those life groups are located at, or who's leading it. You can see the information yourself. So can I encourage you, please, today, if you are not part of a life group, I know how this difficult life is so busy, but we have sometimes to prioritize our connection to fellow Christians in fellowship, and believe me, it will change your Christian life. It will help you, encourages you. We will bond friendship with different love, with sacrificial love together. So please join a life group today if you're not part of a life group. The next point of different applications. Serve others in the church and community. So fellowship is not just about getting things, but also giving. So serving others is a powerful way to have a deeper fellowship. This could involve volunteering in various ministries. Like in church, we have different things like the like what we heard today, like serving the setup or other parts in the church. And also, you can work outreach activities like we are having outreach activities now for our cow service, and like what we did with the firework and what we are going to do later on for Christmas time. And when you serve others, it's not just contributing to the life of the church, but also you will meet with other people in the same settings that you're serving, and you will make a strong bond with them as well. And it brings people together. People who have a shared purpose come together under this serving. And then we have the other application is engage in meaningful conversation and relationships. So many of us just leave as the service finishes. So can I encourage you again? Just to stay for a bit and talk to people that you know and you don't know. It doesn't matter. Just have some sort of a communication, some sort of a relationship. And please don't rush out of service. Take time to connect with people after the service and during church events. Like we have different church events. We have men's breakfast, women's breakfast. So we have different activities that we do in our seasons, in our calendar time. And just take place and have meaningful conversation and communication with people. Or organize these sort of like events. Like for instance, you can arrange a coffee date with someone you don't know in the church, or you meet up for meals, or go for a walk, or simply check with someone that might go through a tough time, really. The next one, application is practice hospitality. So opening up our houses to others, do life together. That's how we practice fellowship. Have meal together, invite friends, organize a game night. I love it. I will come. or a movie night. By opening our home, we open our hearts to other people. We create a space of that other people can experience love and care, and people feel that they are included, that they are cared for. It doesn't have to be expensive. It's all about people feeling welcome and appreciated, really. And finally, pray together. So one of the greatest ways to experience fellowship is through prayer. So when we pray together, we align our hearts with one another and with God. Prayer is a powerful tool to build unity, encouraging others and lifting one another. So take time to pray with your friends in the church and church members. Before or after the meeting, just ask people if they need and if they have any need that you can pray for them. And by actively pursuing all these practices, we engage in fellowship. We create this strong bond with our fellow believers and grow in our faith together. You just have to remember, the fellowship in another consists solely in what Christ has done for us and to us. And he has anointed us with his spirit. We are set apart to service and for service to one another and mediate for one another. We are priests who speak God's word and share Christ's sacrifice. So we have this incredible shared experience of God's love that throw us together and unite us. And this shared belief is what Jesus has done for us under that cross. And what the Bible teaches. Now just to finish. So our faith journey is not meant to be in isolation. In a world that is increasingly valued this individualism, it is easy to forget the importance of the community and fellowship and coming together. And as we reflect on the importance of fellowship, let's make it a priority to engage with one another in life groups, in prayer, and in service. So we can wield a strong, unified body that reflects God's love to this world. Let us not neglect meeting together, but encourage one another as we grow in Christ. Can I invite the band up, please? And if I can I invite you to stand, I'm just going to pray for us. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, thank you, Lord, for what you've done for us, Lord. Thank you that everything is because of what you've done on the cross. that we are coming here together, Lord, in fellowship, to recognize your sacrifice, Lord, for our sins. We come in fellowship together to remember what you've done for us, Lord. And thank you, Lord, that you have already prayed for us so we can be one in you and with the Father. Thank you, Lord, that this is the intention since the beginning of creation. That we are all in a community, that we all have fellowship together. Thank you, Lord, that we have this opportunity to come together as life groups, to pray for one another, to encourage one another in our faith. Thank you, Lord, that we can come and be vulnerable. There's nothing to be shy about, because we have one purpose, we have one God, we have one Spirit. Thank you, God, that you stir our heart to join life groups, Lord, and come and experience this close, loving fellowship today. Thank you, Lord, that you encourage us to come to church every Sunday to have this amazing experience of your Spirit and your presence here with us. Thank you, our gracious God. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.